Welcome to the Power User Podcast, brought to you by NeoWin.net and WinCustomize.com. In this segment, we're talking about fans who love certain video games so much that they actually create conventions around the game. Returning to the show is well-known computer game reviewer Tom Chick and Brad Wardell of Stardock Corporation, regular contributor to Power User Podcast. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
Quite well.
You know...
It's always something.
Start?
Yeah, exactly.
I know, the tapeworms are really acting up this week.
Yeah. Well, Tom, you had a chance to visit QuakeCon recently, the convention for gamers who just loved Quake. What was that like?
QuakeCon is just an enjoyable experience. QuakeCon, one of the prerequisites for really getting into QuakeCon is you have to be a huge id fan. You've got to really be into Doom, Quake, their Wolfenstein games. And you're surrounded by a bunch of people who are really into those games, some of which I liked more than others, none of which I think I would qualify as a hardcore fan for. But it's got a sort of a tent revival vibe.
Is that right?
At times, yeah.
People pretty passionate about those games.
Very much so, very much so. The thing about QuakeCon is it's all unlike other conventions that might be organized by companies or have a very strong corporate sponsorship angle, like E3, for instance. QuakeCon still has retained a lot of its grassroots fan-based organization. It's 10 years old. This was its 10th anniversary.
Wow.
It's grown from, I think it started with 100 people at a little Best Western in somewhere in Texas. Now it's, I think they tend to add another 1,000 every year. The numbers aren't finalized yet. They were 6,000 last year, and their PR agency said they topped that this year, but they don't know exactly by how much yet.
Wow,
so basically 7,000 people. It's amazing, and they've gone from, they no longer fit into a single hotel anymore, so they hold it at this really kitschy resort in Texas called the Gaylord Texan Resort. And it's got this huge tacky atrium in the middle that's air conditioned and has this this sort of Texan Mall of America vibe. And there's every hour, like on the hour, there are actors in there doing a gunfight shtick. Like one of them comes out and he's the marshal and the other guy's the criminal in the black hat. And they do this little comic patter with each other. And then one of them gets gunned down and it's all for the kids. So there's all these families running around. But it's come a long way since it started 10 years ago.
How much does it cost to get in?
QuakeCon is free. Unlike, for instance, Blizzard, they're starting BlizzCon at the end of October down here in Southern California. They're charging $120 per person, and it's two days. QuakeCon, it goes for 4 days, and it's absolutely free. You basically
how do they pay for your hotel room. But, I mean, how does the shows, the people who put on the show, how do they pay for all that?
You know, that's a very good question, Brad. I would guess that since there are a lot of, unlike the sort of corporate vibe of E3, this still has the fan vibe, but there are corporate sponsors there. So you've got an Activision booth, of course. You've got, because Quake fans tend to really be into the sort of bleeding edge hardware, you've got all these reps from Intel and NVIDIA and ATI and Asus and Logitech for their hardcore gaming mice. They've all set up booths, so I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, they pay for their booth space and that goes to renting the cost of the convention center. But I'm not sure, because there's no entrance fee. When you come in, it's sort of funny. When you come in to register, because it's all staffed by volunteers, when I came in to register, it was a 12-year-old kid who was taking my information.
Did you kick his ass?
You know what? I didn't want to start anything with him because kids these days are pretty brutal at games. If I'd ended up in some kind of LAN tournament against this guy,
right,
it wouldn't have been pretty. So when you come in, it's free, but you have to sign a waiver, which basically says I won't sue QuakeCon if I break my leg. But it also has this little clause. I wish I'd kept it. I don't have it with me. There's a clause to the effect of, I will behave and I will present myself in a responsible manner. And I think the subtext of that is I won't bug the families at the Gaylord Texan Resort who are here for something else. Because there are all these like gamers sprinkled in for the duration of QuakeCon with regular families, real
people.
So
bringing my paintball gun and playing Doom 3 for real with the, you know, pretending that the guests of the hotel are just, you know, various demons. Not good, not Is that frowned on then?
I think they could then come up to you, present the waiver you signed, and say you're in violation. Go home. Yeah.
See, that's just too harsh. I mean, if you can't shoot people with paintball guns in hotel and resorts, then I don't.
Well, the thing about QuakeCon is they don't. The reason you won't be running around shooting people. One of the amazing things of QuakeCon, which started as a LAN party, by the way, 10 years ago, is just some guys from an IRC channel. They thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we hung out in Texas and set up a LAN and played games for a few days? And they did. That's still a central part of QuakeCon. So they have the BYOC area, which is bring your own computer, where people bring their own computers. You have to reserve a spot here. A lot of people don't get spots. And a huge part, maybe two-thirds of this big convention center hall is filled with rows and rows of people who've brought their computers. And this year they had over 3,000 computers there. It's amazing to see that. And it's open 24 hours a day for the duration of the event. And there's no real structure to it. You just get in there, you start a game, you wait and hope that somewhere in this pool of 3,000 people, their computers, someone else will join in. And it's this great sort of anarchy LAN party that will hopefully keep the people out of the corridors shooting Nerf guns at the regular visitors.
Well, I was looking on their site, and they also gave out cash prizes for various, you know, people who've won various events, whatever they may be, and they were substantial too. There's a picture on here, some guy holding a big novelty check for $25,000.
Yeah,
wow.
That is huge.
And that's something too, Kristen, that I think you see in as gaming gets sort of moves more towards the mainstream and attracts more corporate sponsors. You can go to these conventions if you're really good at a game. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could, there are tournaments that offer cash prizes like that.
Right, and the chances are probably slim, but, you know, at least there's something you can do with those skills that you've honed over hours and hours of playing that game.
Yeah, and to be fair, not only are they slim, I think they're pretty much slim to none. You should see some of these guys in action. They did have a contest where this leading Quake player, if you could frag him once, you won, a cash prize, and if you actually beat him in the tournament, I don't know if it was a car, but it was something ridiculous like that.
Wow.
And I think they were pretty secure knowing that they weren't actually going to have to fork over a car because this guy was so good. Most of the people I talked to couldn't even get a single kill on him. So it's amazing how good people are. And it's still surprising, though, that all this money gets funneled into these contests. Yeah.
And these guys
not only get prizes, by the way, they get, like in any sport, they get endorsements. You know, this guy Fatality endorsing, I don't know, NVIDIA or Logitech or stuff. He's got to get a hefty sum from that as well.
Jeez,
that's amazing.
Now you mentioned BlizzardCon. That Blizzard's starting up their own convention, so to speak. But it's a little bit more. It's Blizzard actually starting it. I'm surprised that its fan base didn't get together and do something like this already, especially with World of Warcraft. I mean, you can imagine a bunch of guilds getting together and getting a hotel and just going on a bunch of quests together or something in person.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that sort of thing has happened on a smaller grassroots scale that we just don't know about. Also consider World of Warcraft isn't even a year old, so maybe people who had planned on doing this are going to be assimilated into BlizzCon. But I know EverQuest has something similar. I went to a Dark Ages of Camelot. I think they call theirs the Round Table. They have that every year. I went to a Dark Ages of Camelot gathering in Vegas last year. MMOs are sort of a natural for this sort of thing.
So this sort of thing is becoming, it's almost like the Star Trek phenomenon where it's just, people just go crazy for these games and they have these huge conventions and it becomes, the conventions themselves become a giant business.
There's something very communal about gaming, and not just multiplayer gaming, but about talking about gaming, and whether it's a message board or whether it's, I have a LAN party every week, whether it's just sort of the, you play something and then you like to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, games are like, in a way, they're like movies, they're these sort of vivid experiences, and half of the fun is the sort of debriefing and talking about it afterwards with your friends. And I think gaming conventions are a larger social expression of this.
That's true. We're having a Halo 2 party here at StarDock next week, and then a Battlefield 2 party, you know, a couple weeks after that. And
the difference,
just
though,
to come over and
those are great, but the difference is you guys already work together. The thing,
oh, no,
the
these
cool
are
thing about
our,
the cons,
us and our friends too. But yeah, I mean, I understand total strangers getting together and doing
right.
it. Yeah, well, look at our quarter to three parties at you know, when we get together at E3, it's just great meeting all those guys and talking about the having that shared experience that you know, that you have on online.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, of course, wherever that happens, it's a sort of a great way to target a demographic. So you have the corporate sponsors and the advertisers jumping on board as well.
Right, and I'm sure they don't suffer from giving away a few, you know, items or a little bit of money for that. It probably comes back to them tenfold in terms of the advertising they get out of it.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. One of the features, too, of QuakeCon every year that I think they didn't have last year, John Carmack will come out and do a keynote address. And this had its inception, the very first QuakeCon with the 100 people at the little hotel in Texas, where Carmack and a few other people from id who'd gotten wind of this just sort of showed up unannounced. And Carmack sat with a few of the guys on a I think in front of the hotel and just sort of rapped with them for an hour about general stuff. He's very technically minded, and a lot of these guys here were as well. So Carmack will have a keynote address every year. He'd missed it last year because I think his son was born the year before. I think he teleconferenced in from somewhere. But what he does is he gets up on a stage and for literally hours, I think this year's was almost 2 hours, just stuff sort of unspools out of his mind. It's amazing seeing the way he works. He's got no notes. There's no teleprompter. He's just up there letting these ideas sort of flow out of him. And you get an idea of how his mind must work and how brilliant he is. A lot of it's way over my head, and it's sort of funny watching the audience. You've got all these hardcore Quake fans, some of whom are just players and wouldn't know the first thing about allocation buffers or whatnot. They're all in there. There's, I don't know, the halt this time must have had maybe 2,000 at least people in it. He comes out, there's the thunderous applause and even a few attempts at a standing ovation. I mean, they all love Carmack for what he's brought them. And then he starts talking. And after about 10 minutes, there's a little fidgeting. Maybe 20 minutes, a couple of brave souls think, you know, this is over my head. They start to get up and walk out. And, you know, Carmack is a genius, but not a very engaging public speaker. And a lot of the stuff he says, I can't make heads nor tails of, much less people who are just sort of fans of the game.
That's why I always go to IonStormCon. You know, I want to wait for, you know, John Romero, because after he may be his bitch, you know, I just wait on every word. But, you know, Carmack, you're right, he's not quite as engaging.
But he is a genius, and it is amazing seeing how much people sort of adore what he has done for them. You know, people sitting there, I think a lot of the people who do sit in that whole keynote speech do it sort of out of respect. It's almost like watching the credits after a movie. It doesn't make any sense to you, but just to show respect, you're going to sit through it.
Well, that's great. Well, this has been very interesting conversation, Tom. I appreciate you joining us. And
thank you
as always, Brad.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, everyone. This podcast was brought to you by neowin.net and wincustomize.com. Support us by subscribing to us on iTunes, Podnova, or Odeo.com. Look for us every week at www.poweruser.tv.